Hey, gang, are you in a band in Austin? You're looking to make the leap from, the band that people go, to the band that people go, whoa! Now listen, you got to get out of your garage at some point. You got to get out of the living room at some point. You got to get out of your mom's house, bro. You got to get to Space Rehearsal and Recording. Space is a state-of-the-art, affordable venue for rehearsal and recording located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. Call them at 512-448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
John, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a fantastic show for you guys today. The synth soul group Keeper is here today. Yeah, their album Moon High came out yesterday, October 1st. You can find it online on iTunes and on Spotify and things like that. Find out more about them and where you can find the record at keepermusic.com. Aaron, Lainey, and Yadira. Beautiful harmonizers, great songwriters, great singers, really, really interesting people, fun people to talk to. I had a great time talking to them. You can see them here in Austin next Thursday, October 8th at Lambert's with Holy Child. They're playing some kind of ACL party thing. And then October 15th, they will be in New York City playing the CMJ Marathon at the Delancey. Get out there and see them, those of you in New York. They're fantastic, man. They've got beautiful voices. They harmonize beautifully. We have a great conversation. Stick around for that. We will get to that in just a minute. I want to thank Lauren, their manager, for helping me hook this up. And I also want to thank the Austin Music Foundation, because Keeper is the Austin Music Foundation Band of the Month for October. My phone is freaking out. Anyway, congratulations to them. I want to thank my friends over at the Austin Music Foundation for setting this up. I want to tell you a little bit about the Austin Music Foundation. It's a great resource if you're a musician here in Austin and you're thinking about anything like, oh, I don't know how to release my record. I don't know who to talk to at KUTX. I don't know how to get gigs out of town. How do I get national press? Do you think it's time for me to hire a publicist or a manager or a booking agent? So they've got mentoring sessions that you can do, and just look them up, man. You can go to the austinmusicfoundation.org. And find out all about them. The Austin Music Foundation, great resource for people here in Austin that play music, okay? Anyway, so speaking of playing music, I got to spend the day in the studio yesterday with my friends Gabe Rhodes and my friend Einar. We recorded a song that Gabe and I wrote last week called The Man Who Tried to Have Everything. It's a really good song. We had a great time in the studio just playing different stuff. I ended up playing drums. Einar played bass and played some weird percussion stuff. Gabe played guitar. And we just had a really, really good time, man. So I can't wait to play this song for you. We're going to maybe add a little more stuff to it and then do a little mixing. And I'll put it out. I'll let you know when it's out. So I want to thank Gabe Rhodes. Oh, man, then Kimmy Rhodes made dinner at the end of the whole session. Came out of the studio. The studio's in this little building in the back of her house out in, I don't know what that, Spicewood or something? It's like 45 minutes away. Anyway, we went in. She had made this delicious fall meal because it was the first day of October. She made chicken. She made this cornbread inside of a squash, which was really interesting and very good. So anyway, thank you to Kimmy. Thank you to Gabe for having me out. Thank you to Einar for coming out and playing. I had a great day. It was a soul fulfilling day. All right. I hope all of you have a great weekend. If you're going to ACL, you got some nice weather, a lot of great bands, having a good time. Tweet at me. Show me some pictures. Tell me what you're seeing, because I'm going to Houston to play with Skyrocket. All right. Everybody, have a great weekend. Enjoy my conversation with this wonderful band, Keeper. I want to thank the Austin Music Foundation for helping me set this up. Don't forget, they are the band of the month in October. And also, don't forget, their album Moon High is now available. So get on the iTunes or get on Spotify, wherever you get your music, or go to keepermusic.com. Let's talk to Aaron, Lainey, and Yadira. You guys have a great weekend. Let's get down.
never put a dent in it. I pretended cause I thought it never happened. So now I play it cool.
No one
ever knew.
Down by the pool.
Raging. Oh, I was just saying, walking in, I was gonna move in here a couple of years ago.
Really?
Yeah, I would have been your neighbor.
Ah, what stopped you? It's too cool.
It was way too cool for me. I was not ready. Like,
I would love to live here, but it's just way too cool.
Yeah.
what stopped you? Did you find somewhere else?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Somewhere better?
No. Turned out, no. Not better.
Seemed like maybe at the time.
A little less expensive.
Yeah.
But not better.
It's not that bad here. Hey, so your album Moon High, which I guess when this comes out will have come out yesterday.
Yep.
Yeah. Did you guys produce that yourselves? Because you went, did you all go to recording school?
No.
Okay.
No.
Who did?
And no, we didn't, to answer the question, but I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
I went to Media Tech.
Okay.
But we also together took some classes at Dub Academy.
Right. I saw the video of that.
Yeah. That was fun.
And so, but you didn't, that didn't inspire you to produce your own record?
No. I think that I personally like the idea of doing that, but the learning curve is quite severe. So I think that we know a lot of amazing producers, so it seemed kind of silly to prolong the
inevitable. who produced the record? Do you have different people work on all the songs? Or
this album is actually produced by Moon Doctor, the whole thing. Yeah.
Who's that?
He's our friend Tony.
Okay.
He has a label called Fresh Moon Records. He lives in San Antonio, but he's just like a friend of a friend that we hit up. And
did you guys record out in San Antonio or here?
Here.
Here, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Erin has a studio in her house, so we wrote and recorded pretty much everything there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you guys write music, or it seemed like on there you got beats from other people, and that's how you got started, or did you switch over to making the music yourselves?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
I mean, we've written two beats, but we also will write like pretty simple drum loops or bass lines and, you know, kind of root chords and do, you know, just like write songs to that, or even just write acapellas that we send to producers and then they produce around that song. So coming from it from a vocal perspective.
Right. That's what it seems like. You guys, choir guys, choir ladies.
Yeah.
You're all choir ladies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. From forever.
When did you start?
I started maybe first grade.
Okay. In choir?
In choir.
Wow.
And church for forever. So I just grew up in it.
And what about you?
Probably like elementary, third, fourth grade, something like that, in choir. And then all throughout middle school and high school.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Okay. Same. I dipped out sophomore year of high school.
You guys started early. Did you go all the way into college into choir there and stuff?
No.
Or no?
No, no.
Okay.
No.
Junior year. I wish. That would have been good.
Sophomore year was my last year.
Did you guys go see Pitch Perfect together as a band?
No.
But I did do musical theater in high school, which was really fun. Yeah.
I don't know that I've actually seen that all the way through, although I hear it's amazing. I've only seen bits and pieces of it.
The first one's really good.
Yeah.
The first one's really good.
I haven't seen the second one. The
second one's a little
I hear
forcing.
It's,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know how like they try and do that?
Sure. Yeah.
It's like that American pie model. Right. Like he's going to have to have 12. Sex with some inanimate object in American Pie 2 and American Pie 3. And whatever, you know what I mean?
Yes.
There's going to be a new victim in everything. So I wanted to ask you guys about this video that I saw for Next to Me.
Yeah.
Now, was that in the video?
Festival.
Yes.
Okay,
sorry. It was in the video. Yeah, the video was in the video. Austin Music Video Festival. Yeah.
Right, and who did it? Because it's really great, man. Yeah.
My boyfriend, Orion Garcia, actually did it for
Orion
us.
Garcia?
Mm-hmm. DJ Orion of Peligrosa fame. Yeah.
Oh, so, wow.
Modern Renaissance man.
Yeah. He kind of does everything.
Jack of all trades.
He's like, I want to direct a music video now. And then he does it, and it's great.
That's the first one he's done.
I know.
Wow, there's some weird technical stuff in there that seems like you'd have to be somewhat professional to do.
Yeah, I know. He was like dreaming in tutorials during the process of that, because was just, I mean, he knew how to use the programs to an extent, but to do a lot of the things that he in his mind imagined that he wanted to do, he had to figure out how to do it while he was doing it. So it was pretty cool.
He's just that smart. Yeah. He's also my cousin, so I mean, I hate him.
It's kind of frustrating.
So it's all family.
Because he wins pretty in the much. Family. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's the coolest.
He's pretty great.
That is pretty cool.
We're so stoked on it. Like,
oh, yeah.
We couldn't even believe that that was the outcome of, you know, our simple idea with him that just became something totally different and amazing.
What was the... People can go to your website, which is keepermusic.com, and it's in there in the media stuff. It's like the first thing in the videos.
In the media section, yeah.
In the media section. Because it's really worth seeing. I can't believe that. That guy's brilliant.
Yeah. It's pretty nuts. I mean, I kind of like... I personally feel like you have to watch it a couple of times because there's a lot that's going on that you kind of go, like, what was that? Do I need to... You know, so...
Yeah,
it's certainly worth seeing, I think.
How old are you guys, if you don't mind my asking? You don't seem like you're of the age where you'd be offended.
No. No, not at all. I'll be 28 in October, so okay. I'm 27.
What day in October?
25th.
All right.
Yeah.
Same?
I am the eldest, and I will be 34 on October 24th.
The day before me. Birthday. Yeah.
And I am 32, I think.
Yes. Wow, you guys look really young.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, that explains sort of.
It's all the tequila.
That's what I always say.
And
it's all the drinking.
No big deal.
And spliffs, no big deal.
No big deal.
Sorry.
No big deal.
You guys have some videos on there of you singing a cappella, and it's really amazing.
Thank you.
Like, it's really great. How much time? How did you happen upon that? You know what I mean? Like, how did you start singing together? And how did you, when you first heard it and went like, oh, hey, that's a thing. You know, like Crosby, Stills, and Nash, they were at someone's house and they all were singing at Joni Mitchell's house one day. And then someone was like, whoa, that's
Let's
magical.
Do this.
Yeah.
Wow, that's kind of
ready go.
Yeah, it's tricky to pinpoint because we've all kind of come together as friends and doing different projects and singing together,
right.
Like together or separately, but also probably like late at night after, you know, dancing all night, and then a song comes on and we all pick a different harmony. So I'm sure there's some memory in there, but you know, I think
we just grew. I mean, we kind of, I was always influenced by harmonies growing up because I was in choir for forever. So it just came really naturally, and you don't find a lot, I feel like, of female vocalists or just female friends that want to do that as well and as a hobby and just to get together and sing.
Yeah, it's amazing when it happens.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we all recognize that in each other, which is a big deal.
And yeah, there's a sweetness to the sound of the three of you guys singing together that it sounds really natural, but it seems like the first time it would have happened and been good, you guys would have been like, whoa,
yeah,
what was that?
For sure.
Well, the first two performances, I can say, one, we did an a cappella performance for, a big kind of production, a group of a bunch of different artists who were doing performances, and we didn't have backup. We had just started as a group, so we didn't have like DJ, we didn't have Boom Baptist.
We didn't even have a beat.
This was
a song that was an a cappella that we'd written and, you know, memorized, and we performed it live, and it ended up feeling really good, and I think came off really well.
Yeah, shout out the Sessions.
Yeah. The Sessions Factory.
That was our first
and our wonderful, was not at the time, is now
doctor.
Our manager. Yeah. Lauren.
Yeah.
And she, so she invited us to come to do the Sessions Factory during ACL.
Yeah.
And again, we were like, cool, so
we don't have anything.
The Sessions was like a... kind of a production, like they did videos and stuff.
Yeah.
And so they would put together this event where they would have a bunch of different artists, like she said, come together and just perform at this event. And they filmed a lot of it and did like some really cool promo videos. So that's what that original video
really
was
beautifully
from.
Produced, like Super Wild amazing. Child
yeah.
and Max Frost and like amazing bands.
Shaky Graves.
Yeah, I remember that.
And we were, you know, just super great. Like we had just kind of formed and decided to do it. So we did that one. And then for our first performance, we kind of wanted to continue. So we decided to pick a cover song, our first.
What was the song?
Bold Move, Joga by Bjork.
Okay. What song is that?
Well,
can I ask you guys? Does anybody ask you to do this? I'm sorry. I don't normally have anybody play or anything on here, but I did have one guy do it the other day. But can you just sing on command? Is that jerky of me to ask?
We haven't warmed up or prepared at all.
So. Okay.
You're a dick, but try it? Could we maybe like cut and like do a like thing?
No, you don't have to do it. I think I just wanted to. I didn't know how like theater.
You know the funny thing. Is that
could we edit it out if it doesn't work out? I think we could. But
we could.
The funny thing is that when we were doing the yoga thing regularly as an acapella. I think if that were the case, we would be able to do it no problem. But we recently did this trip hop thing, tribute thing with the Applied Pressure at the Alamo Draft House. And with that, we kind of changed the arrangement and we were all singing different parts. And so I think that now it's kind of different in our brain. Yeah, it's just kind of different.
Let me ask you this. When you do switch parts?
We do.
Okay. Because that's one thing I was wondering, because I noticed when people do have a sound and it's distinct, it's because one guy's really good at the high one and the middle guy is the middle guy. And
I think it depends on the song for us, whoever sounds good singing certain parts. Yeah, sometimes Yadira will be able to sing a low part better than I can, and I can sing the higher harmony better than she can. Or it just depends, I think, on... really on the song.
And I think we also, kind of trade the main quite frequently to kind of all be expressive, in the front.
Are we singing the melody?
Yeah. That way we, sort of have to do double duty and be able to kind of jump in here and there in different,
Which makes it more range. Interesting for us.
Yeah. Right.
For us, and I wonder, if people are kind of, if they go, oh, who's singing now? I mean, a lot of people do. They say, I can't tell who's actually singing on what parts until they see us live, and
that's cool.
So that's kind of fun
because your voices blend so well together. You can't tell who is who.
That's awesome. So.
So what did you guys? Did you guys like Wilson Phillips?
Yeah.
Growing up.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Of course.
Okay. I was just trying to find. I was trying to find some inspirational places here. Like what got you guys?
Terms of the harmonic, like the three or four part kind of.
Yeah, There's like this thing to me. You guys, and this sounds really funny, but it's a cross between three things. Is that a cross or is it a cross? Is two things.
An overlap of three things.
A triad. Okay. A triad of three things.
Trinity. Yeah.
It's a triumvirate of three things. And tell me if I'm too off. Okay. There's this song, there's this a cappella song by Soul to Soul.
You know what I'm talking about? Stop right there.
Are you mad at me?
Okay, no, complete what you're going to say, but then I'll tell you why it's so dope.
Luscious Jackson.
Okay.
And Wilson Phillips.
It's amazing.
Like the structure of your harmonies and where they are. You don't sound like Wilson Phillips.
Right.
But when you're singing.
I mean, they're powerful.
You guys got it. You guys have a similar sweetness and a similar structure. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, Yadira has been writing three parts long before she had two other people to sing with her.
I was lonely. I was lonely and alone by myself and recording machine.
So did you guys learn those parts when you came in and then came
out? Well, I think that, it just kind of inspired, for me personally, she and I sang in a group prior to Keeper as well. And when I started writing more, it inspired me to then write three instead of just writing two. It kind of, and then we started doing this group, and so then it worked out really well. But I think Yadira is in her mind, in her dream of a group situation, there would always be three because she has always written for three. So it kind of works out really nicely.
So what were you going to say about Soul to Soul?
Oh yeah.
You know what a cappella song I'm talking about?
Yes, of course I do, because I've been working on an arrangement for it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
This is a special surprise.
Yeah. I didn't even know that.
The past couple of weeks, and I just finished it last night. I'm really excited about it.
Wow.
Yep.
That's weird that I because it's not like a blatant thing. You just kind
it's
of
very
like
specific.
When you listen when you listen to you guys, I was like, oh yeah. Soul to Soul.
Yes.
Cool.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And the Luscious Jackson.
And Luscious,
you know, I like, it's a very well-rounded triad.
Triumph.
There's something
soft corners.
About Not Done that had a Luscious Jackson something to me.
Well, that was cool. That was all this girl right here, Aaron.
Are they still around? Are they a band?
I don't know.
Are they doing stuff?
I don't think so.
I don't really know.
So what like vocal groups inspired you guys? Or is it vocal groups, or is it more just like music and you guys add your harmonies to it?
I think a little bit of both. I think we're all really inspired by, you know, harmonic vocal arrangement, you know, like SWV and...
What's SWV?
Oh, 90s. On. We're 90s, any 90s, like R&B.
Sorry. They're
That's
amazing.
Okay,
yeah. Sisters with
Pre-Destiny's
TLC.
Child.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, right. TLC. Destiny's Child.
Yeah. SWV, for sure.
Because we all, you know, we were all like young girls in the 90s listening to the radio, and we loved singing. And so, you know, we'd either sing with the main part or probably harmonize and imagine doing that with friends.
Yeah.
You know, nobody else can really sing around
you.
No
one else actually wanted to do that.
They thought you were weird.
With you. Yeah.
That happens, man.
It's true.
It's weird to be weird when you're a kid. Yeah. Were you guys weird, or did you have a like, you go first, Lydia? Lainey, sorry.
I feel like I'm pretty weird in general, but I played it off, I hope.
Okay.
I don't know. But yeah, definitely pretty weird. Closeted weird, maybe.
Where are you from?
Hutto.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never been there. I've just seen a sign.
Yeah.
That says it on there.
What's that
like?
That's why.
What's going on over there in Hutto?
When I grew up there, it was tiny. There was a gas station and a bar called Snuffy's. So there wasn't a lot to do. I feel like I would walk around outside and sing a lot, really. I haven't been back since I graduated, but I hear it's gotten really big.
Okay. What about you, Yadira?
I was definitely weird and dark and conflicted from a very young age, but also like really loved performing and expressing myself, you know, in any way artistically. I grew up in a music business family, so
you did?
I spent my childhood in LA and then Miami and here.
Where in Miami? What'd you do? What, Miami?
I spent a brief 1 year in Miami, but most of the time in LA and then here for my formative years.
Okay. I went to Miami Beach Senior High School.
Oh. I lived in Miami Lakes.
Oh, yeah.
So not close,
South
but
Miami.
Not far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know the area well.
It's beautiful. The beaches are beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your family?
My mother, well, my parents, you know, worked, produced music and also ran small indie labels in the Latin music.
That's awesome.
And then my mother sold music for Universal for, you know, until I was... after high school for a really long time.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
she's
a boss.
Did you get to be around Latin singers and stuff?
Yeah.
Who?
All the time.
Anyone cool?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like...
come on.
Iglesias.
Enrique, Julio?
Enrique. Paulina Rubio.
Yeah.
You know, these kind of like pop artists mostly. They were building them up. Mark Anthony, that was...
Yeah.
That was a cool one. And then like...
Weren't you in a music video when you were little...
I'm sorry.
Come on, man. This is a great thing.
That was different. That was like during the Latin gangster, like hip hop explosion of the late 80s. Yeah. I'm not even joking. Like,
the Latin so rad.
It was a
hip-hop
thing.
Explosion.
It happened in Los Angeles. There was a bunch of like, you know, Latin American b-boys and MCs and people trying to do hip hop once that became
sort of
a mainstream thing. So along with like a lot of traditional Latin music. She was involved in kind of selling this like newer crossover stuff. That was cool to me.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah. Do you speak Spanish?
I do not, and I'm ashamed.
But
I understand most of it.
What area of Hispanic are you? Like Mexico,
Colombian.
Spain? Colombian. All right. Mm-hmm. That's good. I'm Cuban.
Nice.
Yeah. What about you, Aaron? What's going on over here?
I'm pretty sure that like if you talk to anybody... that knows me in my life, they would say that I'm weird. But have always been, will always be. I think that there is like kind of this unifying weirdness between the three of us where when we kind of talk about our childhood, there's something about the three, like each of us kind of retreating and just kind of like into solitude in some way, you know, which is kind of funny that we would end up together. But, you know, I would always just be like over here doing whatever. And like my family, like they can recall all of these crazy stories. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And it's not because I wasn't there. It's just because I wasn't really there. You know what I mean? Like I was present, but I wasn't emotionally attached.
I think that's like art. There's artistic kids. And then there's like artistic performer kids. Mm-hmm. And then there's like ADHD, which like is just like, but I used to do that same thing. Yeah. You go and you hide and like create something and then come out and be the center of attention.
Whether it's a story or whatever.
Oh, yeah. That was my whole childhood. Let me put on actually. A show. I had two older sisters.
And then like, don't talk to me after.
Yeah. Okay, now I need to go hide and think about what I've done. You know
what's
like,
funny?
Was it terrible?
I just remembered my babysitter for years. I have two older sisters and my babysitter ended up being my musical theater teacher in high school. So when I was younger, when she babysat us, we would learn a play. Right. And then when my parents got home, we would perform it. So we did that for forever. But I also feel like I missed out on like all TV because I was always like writing or singing in a corner by myself. Or in my room or something, you know?
I feel like there was a lot of things that I kind of missed out on. Really, like my grandparents met both being musicians. They're both pianists. And my grandfather would play constantly. Like, all my family plays a musical instrument or sings. And on my mom's side, I never learned an instrument. We would sing and we would certainly do, like, mass family karaoke events.
Right. Did your grandparents, like, dole out, like, harmony parts?
Really, honestly, my grandmother, I've never even heard my grandmother play.
Okay.
But my grandfather would play, and he's this very, he was a piano man in Boston, like, and he's a very boisterous man, and he would just sit and just play, and of course we would all sing, and most of my aunts were involved with, in theater and stuff as well, and so they would sing and they would be doing harmonies, and I think that for me was kind of the first time that I really was tuned into all of that stuff, was just listening to them all kind of harmonize with each other, and then you just kind of do it, and then my cousins and I would kind of do that with each other as well.
Right.
But mostly I was just kind of like over doing some other thing. I have like really embarrassing videos that, you know, were taken of me and my cousins. I had two female cousins, so it's kind of funny that.
What were you guys doing in like a certain
mostly
song?
Lip syncing to. There was like a specific video that I have in my possession that nobody will ever see, and that's the reason it's in my possession. But we were lip syncing to like Aaliyah and Cranberries and who knows what else, just like a bunch of random '90s stuff, and it was pretty mortifying. I fell into a closet at one point. So yeah, I mean, I was a weird kid for sure, to say the least.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's really good. So none of you play any instruments?
No. Well, Lainey kind of plays the piano a bit.
A little bit.
Do you have a piano?
I have a keyboard, yeah. You I do. Grew up with a piano, so I kind of learned by ear, and
yeah,
I just mess around.
I learned by ear and somehow eventually started getting myself in bands.
Yeah.
It's hard. You know, I'm in this band. I don't want to digress and talk about me, but I had to do this thing today, and it was really hard. Do you guys know that song, Tell Me Something Good by Chaka Khan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The, like, the clav, the... Good. The bass, it goes with the bass. A lot funkier than I just played it. But
you don't
it's in between the kick and the snare where the bass doesn't go. Mm-hmm. And we were trying to play it today a lot, and it was really hard.
Yeah.
Sorry. So, Lainey, I should have taken lessons.
Yeah.
That was the moral of that story. So when you guys play live, you have a DJ that plays the music behind you.
Not
the
quite
tracks.
A DJ, but...
Tell me how that works.
So Boom Baptist performs with us, and he is a producer and a vocalist in his own right, and he plays the push as a synth, as a keyboard, also triggers all of our beats, mixes them together, and he plays talk box as well.
Like talk like yo.
Wow. Wow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, so he really, I mean, we did work with DJs kind of leading up to the fortunate opportunity to work with him pretty regularly. Like he does the shows when we can. We certainly, when we're asked to book a show, we ask him if he's available, because he just really adds an entirely different element that I think people really like. We like.
Yeah, it's a performance rather than just the DJ behind us.
As you know, the DJ and MC, where they're interacting and like backing each other up, as opposed to just having someone triggering a beat.
He's also playing.
Yes,
he's and he does like On the Push, which is, you know,
what's that? What do you
say? So Ableton made this. Basically, it's a MIDI square keyboard with a bunch of buttons on it, and
it's like a really slick controller. It looks. Okay. Yeah. It looks awesome. I've never used one.
And he runs the thing with
bright lights. And so you can kind of program in cues and samples, and you can program in like just sounds, you know, so he could be, he's actually a lot of times like playing along his own little harmonies and stuff, like with
cool.
some kind of synth sound. So it's just, it definitely adds another layer that that I personally really enjoy a lot.
It's fun.
And the talk box is pretty funny. Most people like that have not seen that tend to freak out.
It's a really difficult instrument to pull off.
Well, I know.
Because you're playing.
You mean like with
guitar? Not, you know, you're not singing.
No, he's
you're
playing
creating
on a,
the words with your mouth through this tube of air, but you're playing the notes with a synth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So it's not like Peter Frampton's thing where the sound comes into your mouth and then you
it's the same thing.
Do the shapes.
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's so it is the same thing. And so it is a talk box. Sorry.
Yeah.
That was weird.
But he's just, I mean, I assume there are different ways, different instrumentation that you can use with it. But
he plays a synth through it. Yeah. Those things are totally hard.
Yeah.
In this band I was talking about, I used to have to do a Peter Frampton thing, but that was short lived. Because
they're difficult.
Yeah, it's totally difficult. And you know what I heard? If you strike a chord and there's a lot of distortion, it's real loud, it can mess up your dental.
Ooh.
It can knock out a filling.
Ooh. Really?
Yeah. That's what I heard.
Fascinating. I will not.
That's
be
the word on the street.
That.
That's
cool.
That's what Frampton's always talking about. So what do you you got this record comes out now, or it's out now. And what happens now? You go out and are you gonna go play?
Sure.
Are you gonna?
Definitely.
I hope so.
Yeah, that's kind of the goal.
I hope people want us to.
Yeah,
I'm looking at. I'm gonna look at everyone I see. Like, have you listened to it?
Yeah.
What do you think of it? You hate it. No, you love it. And they won't have heard it.
Well, it's interesting.
Just a regular person.
Because I know that there's a world of pop music that's happening in the regular world, but in Austin, in sort of the main scene. It's not of that.
No.
And so you're kind of outside the fray, which I really like. And I you know, I listen to pop music. Lainey. okay. I listen to it. And I can never understand why it stops here, like at the city limits. Like, we pretend that the popular style of music is completely different than what's happening in the rest of the world sometimes.
Well, I mean, to be fair, like, you know, you have to really sort of be somewhat selective about the shows and stuff that you do here in town, I think, with this type of project. Because it's not something that you can do every week. You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
So it's like you definitely have to kind of pick your shows and so we try to do a lot of shows with acts that are coming through town versus like doing a lot of local shows and stuff like that. So we have on October 8th, we're opening for Holy Child at Lambert's, which should be great.
It's an ACL after show.
Yeah.
And then we go to New York for CMJ.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. So our goal really is to not be like necessarily an Austin band, but to sort of do what we do.
I didn't.
Of course.
I was just saying that, like, can't you be from here and be recognized as, because if someone heard you and you said you're from here, they'd be like, oh, that's weird.
No, it's
true. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's totally
Absolutely.
True. So, and I think that's why we, you know, we want to make sure that we're representing Austin and representing ourselves, but we want to kind of, you know, do it a little bit bigger.
The goal is to get out of Austin, yes.
Definitely. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if it doesn't make sense that our sound is from Austin, then great. That's great.
Yeah. No, I totally think that's great. You know. I just didn't know if that how that worked in your favor.
Yeah.
Or
it's risky, but it's also really fun to do what you know to do what we're doing. And I think.
Well, yeah. Like
there's
this
not a
is,
whole
yeah.
lot of it. You know, there's right. not a whole lot of it going
no,
on.
No, and
in
I
Austin.
Think, that, but there's more than you think.
Sure. Of course.
Sure.
Unless you're kind of plugged into the world that you're plugged into, which obviously I'm like 83 years old and they don't, I'm not on the mailing list.
Well, I think even no, within I mean, the genres that we have experience right. with, we're still doing something that's a little bit unique, you know?
Yeah.
You see some R&B stuff coming out right now that's, you know, gaining popularity and it's really cool, but like it's, you know, definitely like there's a full band element or there's like this reliance on
right.
maybe like a different sort of format and not being able to stray from that format and experiment with other genres being influenced. You know, every song on our album is different and they all sound really different, but they're cohesive because they're us. So, you know, you're not going to hear a song that sounds anything like another song on the album.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's all very rooted in, you know, soulful harmonic, you know,
synth
elements.
Soul.
Synth soul.
And yeah, I think that's actually a really good description. When I read that, I thought that was a good, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it really allows us all to kind of not pigeonhole ourselves into one. Like, we are very different people. We come from really different places in terms of the music that we've grown up listening to, like we've been talking about. Like, all of that stuff plays a key role in what we do, so it's great to be able to just do whatever we want to, kind of, you know, and
yeah.
Be whatever we want to be.
Be flexible.
Yeah.
Fluid.
What, do you know what your show is at, or what your shows are at CMJ?
As of right now, we're doing the Texas Takeover showcase, which is at the Delancey on October 15th.
Okay.
So that's it as of now, but we're working on hopefully trying to line up one or two more.
Who else is on that bill? Do you know if it's Texas Takeover? Like who's there?
Holiday Mountain.
Holiday Mountain's on it.
Night Drive. Night
Drive's on it. Blue Healer.
Is Say Girl Say on it?
Say Girl Say is on it. I haven't done like extensive.
A lot of really
good
bands.
But there's several. I think there's like 8 or 10 or something. Like it's a pretty substantial lineup. Should be great.
And is that like that's an official CMJ showcase?
It is.
Is that work like South by Southwest where there's a bunch of other stuff going on as well as
it's a lot like
yeah.
CMJ.
It
exactly
is, but that's
like
the
South
interesting
by.
Thing about this that I noticed. So Do New York posted it, and basically if you go to Do New York, you can actually just RSVP for it and get in for free, which is obviously totally different from South by. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So that's pretty great. Like, you don't have to have a badge or a whatever. Like, you can just RSVP.
Do you mean in the sense of, like, is there a film portion and a...
No. Oh, I meant, like, is there off... Like, you
like
know...
Tons
how, like,
of other showcases.
Things. Yeah, like, yeah, the non-official. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure. But I think that from what I'm gathering, I mean, I've never been to CMJ. We've never performed, so this will be our first time performing, actually, as Keeper out of state, and specifically in New York, which is really exciting. But yeah, I think that I'm assuming that if this showcase does it this way, then a lot of them do. I don't really know.
Seems like it would be fun. What are you looking for when you're going to do this CMJ thing? Like what, you know what I mean? Like there's a specific goal you might have.
Booking agent.
Oh, we need a booking agent.
We need a booking agent. That's the goal. Definitely. I mean, we have a licensing. We have our wonderful manager, Lauren. But yeah, booking agent's kind of the next step for us, I think, to, you know, like I said, this is our first show out of Austin or out of Texas, so it would be great to be able to do that more together.
I'm gonna tell my friend Casey Lane, who lives up there, and she's also a pop person, she would like you. And she lives up there.
Cool.
And she's, I guess she's gonna move to Nashville.
Oh wow.
Yeah. What have you heard lately that you like that you could turn me on to musically and maybe some of the listeners of the show?
Oh, I have one.
Yeah, okay. Do it.
Zevdaliza.
Yep.
Zevdaliza.
Zevdaliza.
Right, yeah, she's great.
I'll send you a
SoundCloud
Thank you.
Link. SoundCloud link. She's great.
Kalayla is always
a favorite.
On the top.
You guys have a pretty active SoundCloud page. There's a bunch of different songs on there. Are those just one-off songs you've done with people? I've noticed that some of them are under other people's names, and they feature you guys as, like, the vocalist, And then some of them are your songs that feature somebody else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We kind of like to streamline that in terms of, like, so we can kind of see, like, the plays and stuff like that. So it kind
of
works out.
There's a couple that have a lot of plays, like 20,000 and stuff.
Yeah, that BAMES remix.
BAMES remix has like 60,000. Oh, but yeah, no, I mean, some of them are remixes. No, I mean,
she's right.
Well, but I mean, that was crazy because I was, they're amazing and they're on Fool's Gold and that was just like
really
insanity
nice
to see that. But yeah, we kind of try to keep it that way where we'll just repost it if it was posted from, you know, like Bird Peterson did one with, instead of splitting the plays, it kind of just makes more sense that we can all kind of keep it in the same place. But yeah. But yeah, like with that, we wrote a song for Bert Peterson's album. And it's Keeper, but
that's
it's
awesome.
On his album. So yeah.
Yeah, we do features.
I like that. Super down. I think I wish that happened more in rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like the pop and hip-hop people really have that
collaborate.
Down.
Collaboration is so much fun.
It's so much fun. And especially, I guess now, it's even...
I'm just like drooping. My mic is like drooping a little bit here. That's all right.
Oh, you know. It's an old stand.
It's wonderful.
It's been a lot of years in that stand.
It's a wonder... No, I think I'm going the wrong way again.
What was I saying? Oh, it seems like now... In this culture of that we have, like SoundCloud and these kind of things, it almost makes more sense to go and do that stuff. Mm-hmm. And also, nobody buys your record. It makes sense to sort of like team up. And plus, I think you grow like as an artist.
Yes,
it's a challenge and you rise to something.
Yeah.
And that's always a great thing, an exercise to do.
Yeah, that's the thing is I think we're pretty comfortable with each other, you know, at this point, writing and recording things, and when you bring another element into that, it's always interesting to see what happens and where it goes, and hopefully it works out.
Do you guys ever come in and sing like backing vocals for other people, like as a trio?
I've done it.
I'm sure you've all done
no,
it.
No,
not yet.
No,
actually.
Why don't we do that?
Well,
We did do a feature
for a rapper.
You did?
Yeah, and I mean, it was cool. It was just kind of like a, hey, we want you guys on this thing, and so we did that. But yeah, I mean, we are definitely down if it feels right, you know. I think it's kind of like, it's like anything, it's your art, so it has to kind of be the right fit for everybody. But yeah, I mean, we're definitely into the idea of doing that.
Seems like that would be a really cool thing. I like that when, like, this is a very obscure thing and I don't know, even know if you know what I'm talking about, but there's a Chicago song from the 70s called Wishing You Were Here.
Okay.
And it's like Carl Wilson, Dennis Wilson, Al Jardine, like basically like the Beach Boys guys, but it's it almost like you're listening to the Chicago song and these backing vocals and you're like, whoa, wait a minute, that's, you know,
that's
the Beach Boys.
The voice is familiar.
Yeah.
The voices are
The blend is familiar.
Right.
The harmony structure is familiar.
Well.
Yeah.
I just saw that.
Sounds like a plan.
Love and Mercy.
Yeah.
By the way. Oh my God, so good.
That's a great movie.
It?
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Whew.
I love
ridiculous.
It was very emotional.
I haven't seen it.
You know what's weird is
you should see it.
I've read like his book, like the one from the late '80s. I think it's called I Just Wasn't Made for These Times.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read another one called Heroes and Villains that was kind of an outsider's view of what was going on politically with all these people. And you know, they had to get that Eugene Landy guy to take care of him, but then they had to get that Eugene Landy guy off of him.
Right.
Like, because no one could stop Brian.
Right.
I don't think they got far enough. It's such a vast story
that
it would have to be like a mini series or something to really satisfy me.
Right.
Yeah. To know what happened exactly as it had progressed.
Yeah. I live in a world with all these like pop music nerds that like, you know, well, you know, Brian was in bed for, you know, 4 months and 73. Then he came out and did this one backing vocal on this one song. So you're going to do CMJ, and then after that, not a lot on the books, just like starting to line stuff up and getting out there.
Yeah, I think we'll kind of probably, we took a little break the summer to write a little bit, and we did, and hopefully we'll get to record a little bit and write a little bit more and get us into the new year. I'm sure mm-hmm. we'll do shows, but
we need to get back in the studio and start playing some new stuff.
Yeah, you know,
we're all ready to do that.
Yeah, yes. Like now that this album is out there,
ready to make a new album.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe not a new album, but new music for sure. Yeah, like definitely
get back to it.
Yeah, it's just, you know, we've been finished with this record for so long, and you know how it is that it takes so long to actually put it out that you kind of sit and you do stuff, but it's like until it's done and in the pub out in the public, you kind of you're waiting for something, so to speak. And so now we're like, all right, let's just do some other stuff.
What it's like is when the horse has to go in the gate before the gun goes off, and you're just kind of sitting there like, come on.
Exactly.
And then it goes off, and then you're
totally
off and running with blinders on.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. How do you guys, are you taking what was the music guy's name that plays with you guys?
Boom Baptist.
Boom Baptist?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Is he going to CMJ?
He is.
Yes. Good. Yeah. What happens when he's not there? You have a second.
Oh, it's very sad, and we cry.
She might cry.
We have a couple of other friends who, you know, we have called on. Peyton Long is another producer from Austin who has helped us with some stuff, and Orion has definitely helped us. Yeah. But, you know, we really try to perform with Boom as often as we can because it's so much more dynamic and really fun, I think, for all of us. So if we can't, we can't turn down a show because he isn't available.
Right.
So we'll do
whatever. Well, there's also the great thing about electronic music too is that, you know, we can do a show tape with him. Like we can have him record his set and do it that way, and then we can just go.
And we can run our set.
And that is not
with a computer.
That is totally doable, but
you know what throws me is like growing up like playing in bands like for so long that it's hard for me to figure out, and maybe you'll understand what I'm talking about, to not have that wall of sound coming from behind you when you're singing.
Yeah.
Is it coming out? It's coming out of monitors, maybe his monitor. Do you ever have ones behind you just kind of blowing it
up? His monitor is usually mm-hmm. going pretty strong, so we can.
That's the part that would seem weird, like the way it
but
would
certainly
sound
not in the sense
kind
of like
me out a little bit.
Amps and stuff like that. Right. Like, it's very different.
A drummer.
Yeah, the drummer.
Yeah, it's a different thing, definitely.
Yeah.
But I think just growing up the way that I did and playing in bands mm-hmm. your whole life, that part of it to me seems like that's the one thing about it to me that seems would be real strange is the way it would sound to me.
Well, yeah. I think that perspective kind of shifts toward like what you feel the audience is hearing. So even if you're performing on stage and you have amps and drums behind you, it's still being mixed out to the house.
Yeah, it sounds great out there. Usually,
so I think
that's the thing is I might not even be used to it sounding really good on stage. Right. I might be used to that sort of like weird
compartmentalize is what I'm saying. And just turn like sana yourself and say it's cool and focus on
Do you guys
know,
say sana sana culito de rana?
Yeah.
Sino sana hoy, sana mañana?
You know
that's good. That's awesome.
You know what I mean, though? I agree with you and I understand, but like, you know, it's just a shift in perception.
I want to go to like your sound check and go on stage and try and sing to a track while it's playing like that. And
come on.
Hopefully.
I'm just inviting myself to all your stuff.
You should.
You're going to sing backup on my next song, and then I'm just going to randomly show up at your sound checks and see what it sounds like.
Perfect. We would love to have
October 8th, Lamberts. Who's the band you're playing with?
Holy Child.
Yeah.
There's a lot of childs. Wild Child, Scorpion
Wild Child.
Holy Child. Where are they from?
We're not children.
Okay. But they're
ladies.
Are they playing South by Southwest that's... Or not,
they're playing
ACL, that's what I meant.
I assume they're playing
one of those
ACL,
things.
Yeah. I'm actually not going to ACL this year, so I haven't really been up on the lineup, but I assume that they are, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
That's it.
Is that it?
October 8th.
Oh, October 8th. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
October
we're doing
15th.
It.
Lambert.
October 8th.
October 15th, they'll
be
in New York at the Delancey.
Come to our show in New York.
Texas Takeover?
Yeah.
Is that what you said? Yeah. All right. Is there anything that I'm missing? Your album, Moon High. The songs that I didn't hear at all, but the songs that I did hear are great.
You should listen to it all.
Because like tomorrow.
I will be able to.
It's very... Now.
At midnight tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll listen to it.
It's
been out for a day. Why are you...
What am I lollygagging for?
Midnight yesterday night. Yeah, no, it's... we all are very proud of it, so...
We are. It's sort of surreal, you know?
Yeah.
So,
hope other people like it because we like it.
Are you putting it out physically? Is there a physical?
No. Well, we have...
Don't say no like that, though. I think when people are like... oh yeah, we got to make sure we get those CDs. I'm like, why?
Man, I have like at least three boxes of CDs from my old band sitting in my house. So I'm just like not even trying to do that.
But you see that vacuum cleaner? It doesn't fit in the closet because of fucking records that I've released
exactly,
on CD.
I understand. Same. We have USB cards for at the show, like if somebody wants it for that moment.
It's weird. It's a weird transitional period because they're... I don't know if you guys have like computers don't come with CD drives anymore.
Right.
Nope.
And like you try and go get some blank CDs over at Radio Shack, they're like, we don't even carry them anymore.
Yeah,
like,
it's weird.
What?
Radio Shack? USB. Yeah.
It's really
so
weird.
That's going away. Mm-hmm. But there's still this there's still this sort of like importance to have a thing.
I would like to hear your record on vinyl.
I would like to hear a record on vinyl.
I would like to hear it too.
Yeah.
Tape is also, you know, kind of
tape
having
is
a resurgence.
Kind of a new
but
thing.
I think yeah. tape is having a thing because it's a thing you can hand people. Yeah. I don't think people are going and listening.
It's
I think they're just
effective.
Taking the.
It's cost effective. I think that's a huge thing.
It is.
And the nostalgia of listening to. Something
I
on
have
tape,
a theory
you know?
That if you take one of those tapes that someone's selling, there's nothing on it because people have just taken the download card inside. I think it's
amazing.
Just a cute way
just
to
flip the download
a conversation
maybe you
piece.
Should do that. That's what you should do is do the download card inside of the cassette.
That's what they do.
Thing.
Yeah.
Oh,
that is fantastic.
My theory behind the cassette thing is that it's just a cute way to.
Yeah.
Like, look, I have a
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I prefer vinyl.
Me too.
Well, of course, it is. You know, I mean, we have a friend band from Houston, The Suffers, who just did this Kickstarter, and they paid for their whole album, and they did this whole thing, but they did the Kickstarter because they don't have a label. So I'm really thrilled because I gave to it, and I will be getting their vinyl. But, like, you know, I mean, I think nowadays, especially as an independent artist, like, you kind of have to do crowdsource.
Yeah, you have to find creative
to
ways.
Find the money,
you have to find creative ways.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
But to me, that's almost kind of cool because it adds a new level to your genius. The only thing is that we're going to miss these kind of people that are, like, Brian Wilson would have never been able to get his Kickstarter going and manage himself and do all that stuff and write all that music. I bet there's going to be some genius that we're going to miss out on now.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Because
is
alone
like,
or in her room by herself, not talking to anybody.
Like when we were talking about putting out the album, there's such a process that you go through beforehand of just everything that entails from media to, you know, photo shoots to interviews to doing all these logistical things that you can't really be writing. You can't give all of your focus to that. And so,
well, especially now when, I mean, you guys have the good fortune of having a manager, but a lot of it is on your shoulders. I mean, I bet you guys update your own Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And
we all have full-time jobs. So it's not like, you know,
what do you do? What do you do? You dear?
I'm the director of operations at Dub Academy, which is a DJ and production school.
That's awesome.
It is pretty awesome.
Erin, you cut the hair.
I do. I'm a hairstylist.
You're a hairstylist and colorist as well?
As well, yeah.
Yeah, at Mint.
Mint.
Guadalupe. Lainey.
I'm a concierge for a startup around town.
Oh,
called
that's
Key
cool.
Concierge, yeah. We service like high-end rental homes. So.
Like this place.
Yes, exactly like this place. And ACL will be at ACL too, so.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So you're going to go, is there anyone you're looking forward to seeing? Are you going to see some people?
We did Lollapalooza as well. And who was it? I'm excited to see Tame Impala again.
Yeah.
Very excited. Chance the Rapper, I haven't seen live. I'm excited. Yeah.
That is one person. Chance the Rapper, if you're listening,
let's do it
on the track with us
together.
Oh, I thought that was it. I was like, I thought you had a boyfriend that directed your video, but that was a shout out to Great Music.
Great Music.
Yeah.
Love this guy.
Yeah.
Super,
Chance the Rapper.
I would love to see him.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Is there anything I'm missing? I like you guys, man.
Yeah, we like you too.
People
like
should
you
go too. To Keeper Music and pick up the album Moon High out now.
Now.
Officially, your first. Congratulations. And also, Lauren, thank you for the bubbly. We had a little bubbly
we
during this.
We had a little celebration. I drank it all.
I would like
yeah,
some
we
more.
Already drank all of it.
But I'm wasted.
That's why you like us.
Coming.
Thank you so much for having
congratulations.
Us.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was Keeper. Their album Moon High is available as of yesterday in the iTunes and the Spotify, wherever you get the music online. Don't forget, you can find out more about them at keepermusic.com. I want to thank them for coming by. I want to thank my friends at the Austin Music Foundation for hooking me up. They are at the Austin Music Foundation Band of the Month for October. I want to thank my friend Lauren for coming by. And don't forget, you can see them next Thursday, October 8th at Lambert's in Austin with Holy Child, and they will be at the Delancey on October 15th in New York City playing the CMJ Music Marathon. All right, Keeper, I want to thank them for coming by. Great band, fantastic album, Moon High. Get it. Get it now. While you're out there on iTunes, don't forget you can subscribe to this podcast, How Did I Get Here, on there. And don't forget to leave a rating and a comment, because whatever you have to say, whatever you think the rating is, that's fine. We just need it because it helps our overall rating on iTunes, which helps us secure advertising to keep the show free for you, okay? And you can like our Facebook page, which is called How Did I Get Here, and you can also follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I am at Johnny Gowdy. All right, let's hear some more music from the great band Keeper from their album Moon High. Hey, if you're out there at Austin City Limits Festival this weekend, have a great time. Don't forget to wear some sunscreen and enjoy the weather, all right? Thank you for listening. Here's some more music from Keeper from their brilliant new album Moon High, available now. Let's get down.
No, I'm not done.